So thank you everyone for coming to putting the V in MVC. We will be specifically focused on jQuery, UI, and WGMA. So a little bit about me. I am Chris Bannon. I'm currently the product manager at Component One for the WGMA product line and ASP.NET product lines. So what we will basically be doing today is trying to utilize some of the jQuery technologies to build better views. So it looks like we are having some video difficulty here.
Go ahead and try to reshare your session. There we go.
All right, great. Sorry about that. All right, so I'm just going to flip through the slides real quick. If you would like to contact me, my Twitter handle is B4NN0N. And like I said, today we are going to be focusing on building really rich and better views. So first of all, to define view, I think probably a lot of people here already know, but you know, just for conversation's sake, it stands for view. V stands for view, and it is essentially the presentation layer of an application. The view is responsible for the user interface. And it generally consists of HTML. And the way we get the rendered HTML is usually from HTML helpers. So HTML helpers are a tool in ASP.NET MVC that help us create HTML, hence the name HTML helpers. Microsoft provides some helpers for simple HTML elements that link to data or other views. So things like text boxes, hyperlinks, and whatnot. So really they're nice building blocks for helping you render the HTML you need to build an application. But something important to remember, in the end, all these HTML helpers really are is just returning a string. They're returning an HTML string. So what happens is when you get into complex HTML helpers, things can get a little messy, specifically when trying to build helpers like a menu, a grid, a tree. All of these can really start to plug up your view, and you'll actually see things start to trickle into the controller just to clean up the view. So I'm just going to give you a little demonstration here of exactly what I mean by this, to show you what is literally one of our little prototypes. So this is a menu, and this is how you would initialize a menu helper, okay? And what we're doing is essentially just adding items and then adding sub-items. So there would essentially be menu items, sub-menu items. And as you can see, I mean, the code's indented, so I have a bit of an idea about hierarchy. But I really have a hard time trying to understand what in the heck this menu is, and how it's going to render. So, you know, with things that have a really complex object model, like a menu, and you have really large collections of items, it can get out of hand fast. So, with that being said, I'm going to hop back to the slides. What I'd like to do is focus on, you know, just the HTML, since that is what these helpers are doing. They're returning strings, and the strings are HTML. So what if there were a way to stick to HTML and turn HTML into a really rich interface without having to use a helper and without having to pretty much dirty up the view, if you will. Now, this doesn't always happen, but it can. So, just so happens, there is a way of doing that. jQuery UI, the widget library, specifically is built to turn simplified HTML into interactive user interface. Okay, so it is the sole purpose of these widgets to take semantic markup and build UI components, or as they call them, widgets. So jQuery UI widgets are just as easy to use as jQuery. They are pre-themed with CSS, and there's 24 themes already made to choose from. They work in every browser. They may differ slightly in how they're styled in every browser, but they do function and behave the same in every browser. And since they're built on that HTML foundation, if JavaScript isn't enabled, they still semantically represent the information and the data that you are trying to place in a view or page. And that is them falling back gracefully, or graceful degradation, to that simple markup. And then beyond that, they also have a lot of animation effects that are really popular for applying transitions and effects to HTML elements. So I'm just going to hop on over to jQueryUI.com. I'm sure a lot of people have been here, but just to get a quick picture of what they have. They've got buttons, they've got accordion, they've got tabs, date picker, progress bar, dialogue. Quite a bit of UI widgets here. But there are some things missing. So, the next question. If only there were more of these awesome jQuery UI widgets for building applications. And it just so happens there is. Enter Widgmo. Widgmo is a complete kit of jQuery UI widgets. And something really fundamental to know about Widgmo is that it extends jQuery UI. It has a dependency on jQuery and jQuery UI. And what we do is we focus on adding features to existing widgets. For example, adding buttons to each side of a slider, increment and decrement buttons. Progress bar, adding an actual sliding text value. Things like that that are just nice little bells and whistles that we extend jQuery UI widgets with. So those actually have a dependency on the jQuery UI widget themselves, and they're just small little extenders to those. And then, of course, we add new widgets to jQuery UI. And this is everything from menu, tooltip that have recently actually made it into jQuery UI, to things that are really data-centric, like grids and charts, trees, and those are the equivalent to something like a grid view, tree view, things like that in web forms and ASP.NET. So, just like jQuery UI, it works in every browser, including IE6, and is theme roller ready, which is huge. So, this whole kit of widgets looks and feels just like jQuery UI, and if you're used to that, you'll be very familiar with using this. Very easy to use. And we are using a lot of new technology like HTML5, CSS3 for theming, and SVG for the charting. And we'll touch on that a little later when we look at those. So, what I would like to propose here is this idea of the ultimate view. And the ultimate view, I mean, this is, you know, the most stripped down version there could be of it, is just a block of HTML simplified to its, you know, fundamental meaning, its semantic representation, jQueryified, so basically a couple lines of jQuery to turn it into a widget. And the widget will automatically have JavaScript applied to it for behaviors, and it will automatically have CSS applied for styling. And this is a concept known as progressive enhancement. And we start basic, and then we basically add all these features, when JavaScript is supported, to give more interaction, more behavior, better user experience to that simple piece of HTML we started with. So, this is what that basically means in other words, is we have something on the left here like an unordered list, which is very standard, especially in MVC, the menu in the default project uses that. We apply, one line of jQuery, which is turning it into a widget, and the result is something that you see on the right, which is a very interactive menu, and it's all fully styled and ready to go. All right, cool. So that's the ultimate view concept. Now it's time to dig in and try to start building some views with this idea. All right, so what I have is a ASP.NET MVC 3 application. It's using a entity data model from the Northwind database for the model. And the views are using Razor syntax, and they're very simple. So I tried to keep this application very, very simple and familiar. Obviously, the choice of Northwind gives way to that. And also, this is not how you want to architect a full application. This is merely to demonstrate some different ways of enhancing views. So I don't think a website would end up being architected like this, but the view principles I think you'll see pretty clearly. So first and foremost, I'm just going to run this very basic ASP.NET MVC application so you can see exactly what it is and what we're starting with. All right, and as we're going through code here, please feel free to post in the Q&A section. I will review those towards the end, and hopefully we can answer any questions or elaborate on anything that we go too quickly over. So here is our putting the V in MVC application. We're looking at the homepage view right now, the index. I have a very simple products view, and that is essentially just an HTML table. And we'll take a look at how that's being created. I have the standard login form, register form, that are all part of the default project. Okay, so that's the basics of our application. Now let's go in and start enhancing it. All right, so in the views folder, I'm going down to shared views, and I'm going to open up underscore layout.cshtml, and this is essentially our master or our template that all of my views will be loading into. So it's just a simple HTML5 document, and what I've done is referenced the local style sheet, which was already here from the default ASP.NET MVC application. And then I've referenced jQuery, jQuery UI, some extra plugins like BGI Frame, Globalization, Mouse Wheel. I've also referenced Raphael, which is a really cool JavaScript library for working with vector graphics, mainly SVG. And it degrades to VML. And that is how we actually build the charts. And then I've, of course, referenced Widgmo Open and Widgmo Complete. WGMA Open is a completely open source under MIT GPL, same as jQuery, set of widgets. And WGMA Complete is a commercial set of jQuery UI widgets. So that is the difference between those two. In this application, I'm referencing both. And then I have things like the jQuery templating plugin. So not all this stuff is requirements, but it's all stuff that I will be using to build rich views here. So first and foremost, I want to make a little more rich of a menu. So I'm going to add some nested unordered lists here. So what you saw originally there before I uncommented, the nested unordered list was essentially the default menu in the MVC project. I'm also going to change the ID of this menu because there's styling and I don't want that to impact this new WGMA-fied menu. Now, down in the document.ready, I'm going to use a jQuery selector, the hash mark signifying the ID selector. So I just gave it a new ID of nav. And now I want to turn this selector into a widget menu. And that's literally it. So one line of jQuery, and you'll notice I put it inside this document.ready event. And that just ensures that all those references from the top of the page have already loaded. So I can now start working in JavaScript specifically with the DOM and specifically with assemblies that needed loaded. All right, so let's just see what kind of impact that had. All right, so immediately you can see we have a menu, and it's supporting submenus too. Pretty nice menu. Nothing too fancy, but it adds a really nice menu to compared to the default in MVC. So beyond that, there is a little login button up in the top right. So I would like to just get that to be styled like the rest of the application is going to be when I start using jQuery UI a lot. So that has a container of with an ID of login display. And it is actually an anchor tag, so I am going to select all anchor tags within there. And that is because there are multiple anchor tags, one for log off, one for log in, depending on whether they're logged in or out. And I'm going to turn them into jQuery UI buttons. So these are not WGMA buttons, these are just jQuery UI. Okay. So now any anchor tag within this container is going to be a button. Let's see what kind of effect that had. All right, so immediately you can see that the button up here is now themed just like the menu. And the theme is a jQuery UI theme. It's one that we've actually worked on. It's called Aristo. But the important thing is that things are starting to look uniform, and the UI is starting to match up. And when we take a look at really the power of theme roller later, it's really shocking to see how much of an impact and how quickly you can theme things when you take advantage of it. All right, so beyond that, we have a login page. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. It's hard to make this much better other than just to add the styling, so we're going to do that. Using some of the form decorators from WGMA. So I'm now going to go up to the account folder under views, since these are in the account section, and specifically the logon page. Now, this is more of what you'll be working with in views, other than the master layout view. This is a page that will load into the master. So all you're working with is, just a partial view of what the end result will be. So If we scroll down, we see labels, we see text boxes, validation messages. We're not going to touch any of this. We're going to leave it just like it is, because we can write jQuery to find all of those elements. All right, so for time's sake, I'm just going to uncomment out these three lines, and I'm going to explain them. So the first line is probably the most complex selector. And to explain it, it is finding any input element. And remember, a text box helper renders as an input. So we're finding any input where the type equals text. So this is an attribute selector where I'm specifying an attribute and I'm expecting a value. So any inputs that have type text, which is exactly what a text box is going to render as, so the comma basically says, or anything else, any other inputs you find that have type password. So a password field is essentially going to be turned into the same thing. And that is just a widge text box. And that is the Widgmo text box decorator. The only thing it does is style it uniformly in all browsers. Below that, we have the inputs where the type equals checkbox. So that's getting our remember me checkbox. And we have inputs with type equals submit that we're turning into buttons. Now, I'm just putting this on a individual view, but in all honesty, this could be applied, you know, in that master layout page. Because these are general selectors, and this is something that would be safe to do. You're just decorating pretty much every text box, every password box, every checkbox, and every button. So this would be something you do not have to do in a view, in a partial view rather, but you could do up in the layout view. All right, so let's go ahead and see what kind of impact that has. All right. So it just added some padding in there. It gave it a little inner shadow. It's hard to see here, but there is a highlight too. So when you have focus, it's got a little blue glow to it. And then the checkbox is styled nicely. And obviously the button is too. So that was some, you know, pretty simple stuff you can do across the board. You know, the menu, the buttons, the inputs, checkboxes, radio buttons as well. All that can be done and have a really wide impact on an application. And that stuff was all part of Widgmo Open. Now let's take a look back to our products list and see what we can do with this table. I'm guessing everyone else knows what we're going to do with this table. You know, the suspense must be killing you. We're going to make it a grid. Big surprise. Okay, so let's go into the index.cshtml inside the product section. So this is a strongly typed view, and it is representing a list of products. That is its model. So before we dig into the view, let's try to understand its model. Or its controller, and what is being passed in from the model. So we are going to go into our products controller. And quite simply, it's the index action results, the view message is products, and we are getting the object set of products and turning it into a list and then returning it as a view. Very straightforward and simple. And hopping back to our index.cshtml, you will not see an HTML helper here, but you will see something that's you know, pretty obvious. It's a table. It's just an HTML table, very clean. Just in this view here, you can clearly see what is going to be rendered. And instead of passing in like a template or creating a helper that expects some kind of data template, all we're doing is all we need to do, which is just create a for loop for every product in the model, and creating a row for each of those. And this is the Razor syntax, and I do have IntelliSense, so I can, you know, get the product name. And you'll notice that I defined the columns in the table head tag. So the first one being name, second one being price, and then I'm actually setting the values inside the for loop in each cell. So, I mean, this is as simple as it gets. And, you know, imagine the web designer coming in and being able to see this and knowing exactly what's going to render, you know, and if you want to add a class, you can add a class here. And you're working really close to the metal here. You're working with the markup, and you're really taking total control over it. So this doesn't work everywhere, but you know, it works for me, and I think it's pretty clean and pretty powerful. So what this resulted in was that simple table that you saw. Let me just hop back there. So nothing spectacular. So how do we improve upon that without, you know, turning this into a helper? Well, the short answer is Widgmo. So I'm going to use a class selector here, and the reason I'm using that is to be a little more flexible. I didn't want to put an ID on the grid or the table, because you never know when you're going to, you know, load it partially. And you know, if you build a dashboard and you're loading this grid with some other grids, you want to be as flexible as possible. And if you're going to commit to IDs, it better be the only one that gets rendered on that page. So it's just a safe practice here to stick with the class name. And usually you can make that specific enough to at least isolate it and turn it into a widget. So before we get into making, you know, a really rich grid, let's just out of the box see what widget grid the Widgmo grid gives us. All right, so immediately it looks, you know, way better, and it also is starting to match the rest of the application. So the menu's matching, the buttons, and the grid. So really nice, but you know, there's features missing. It's not sortable, and you'll notice the data in the price column. You know, we could do that on the server, but you know, what if you didn't have control over that? What can you do on the client? There are things. So let's take a look at adding some features in there. So to explain how setting options on a widget goes, you might be used to chaining methods that you would see in a helper, and that is not how you do it in jQuery UI. What you do in jQuery UI is you pass in an options hash, it's called, it's basically an object of options. And then the widget will parse those and basically look for what it needs and set options and render based on what gets passed in. So it's actually a JSON object, so it's basically a name or key value pairs, and it's comma delimited. So let's just turn on sorting. And if it's a Boolean, it's actually a JavaScript Boolean. If it's something like an enum, you actually use a string, which is takes a little getting used to. So you're not going to have IntelliSense. But you know, that's just jQuery UI. So this is essentially just passing one option in. And just to show you too, we would do allow paging, true, and let's just see what that gives us. All right, so immediately I've turned a pretty bland table into a interactive grid. Okay, now let's format the second column. So the columns is actually an array. So let's just create an empty array. Create an empty item. The first column I don't want to do anything with, so I still have to specify an empty object. But the second column, I want to explicitly set the data type as currency. And there's that enum string value I was talking about. A little weird, but you'll get used to it. So I've explicitly set the data type of currency on the second column. Okay. Let's see what that does. Blows up. Missing a comma. Never forget your commas. All right. So a subtle change, but it's still nice. It actually is using the jQuery globalization plugin, and it's localizing that float to actually, or it's a decimal, it's actually localizing the decimal as a currency amount, so as a dollar value. And it's also doing some subtle things like aligning it right. So basically, we're adding classes to the cells. So if it's actually a numeric value, we will align it right. Just nice little touches like that. All right. So let's go back here, and I think that's about it for our grid. Pretty straightforward. Now I want to create a hierarchical list of products within categories. So this one has a little more razor in it, but it's still very clear of what you're actually rendering. An unordered list for each category in my model, and then basically, a list item for each category, and then a nested unordered list and list item for each of the products within the category. And very simply, I will just be turning that unordered list into a Wijmo tree. Okay? Very simple stuff. Let me go ahead and turn that off just so you can see the difference. So basically working with unordered lists that you're probably already doing now, and then just enhancing them with some JavaScript. Really nice. And again, it matches the rest of the UI around it. All right. Now let's take a look at some sales reports that we can build. We are going to look at the top-selling products. Now, this is a report. You know, it's set up similar to the products list. It's just building a table, so you know it's nothing great when it comes to rendering. It's pretty plain. Let's have a look at our view. And a little bit different of a model here. It's basically still a list, but it's of a very specific query. And that came from the Northwind database. So very similar, though. Creating a table, for loop, creating rows, and displaying product name and product sales. Now, that one was, you know, it was okay, but the data is still, you know, in a pretty plain table, and it's kind of meaningless, you know, as a report. Sure, it works, but it's still not that useful. So let's try to visualize it. I'm just going to uncomment this stuff here and explain it. Okay, so I have two JavaScript arrays, sales X and sales Y, and those are for my two axes. I'm then looking at each row in my table, and specifically each row within the T body tag, because I don't want the header rows. And then I'm pushing X values based on the product name and Y values based on the product sales, and I'm having to use a JavaScript parse float so I actually get that float to pass into the chart. So this is section right here is building my two arrays that I need for the chart. And then I'm just going to use a div class here to draw a chart on. The div class, or the div with a class of sales chart, I am calling the widge bar chart method, and you can see my options hash here. Really the only thing that needs explaining is the series list. So the series list is an array of series. So I could have multiple series. This one is just a single series, and then you have an array of values on the x-axis and an array of values on the y-axis. So the chart itself is just this couple lines of code, pretty straightforward. So there we are. That is how we would code a visualization. Now let's save it and see what it looks like. Awesome. All right, so now I have taken a table of HTML data and I have visualized it semantically. So the table's still there. You're actually still rendering the same thing, and the only thing you're doing is enhancing it with progressive enhancement once it's rendered on the client. And then I could even go as far as to say using a little jQuery, I can hide the table. So that then it's still there, it's still rendered, but the only thing you'll actually see is the chart. All right, now I would like to jump into another page here, and this is just a demo page. It's the theme roller page. Now this is not representation of a application. It's just a bunch of different widgets on a page, and this is to give you an idea of theme roller and how much of an impact it can have on an application. So what this is just widgets with classes, and this theme roller ready bar up here is just a heading tag with the same classes that jQuery UI uses on it. So you can still utilize all the theme roller stuff without using widgets. Widgets just make it easier. But you can use it in other places in your application. And you can see the impact of the whole application looking the same. Le Frog, very green. So really, really, really powerful tool. If you haven't seen Theme Roller and jQuery UI and how it all works together, I would highly recommend trying it out. And all of the Widgmo widgets, these are all Widgmo widgets, they just work with Theme Roller. So you can also build your own. All right, now we're going to take a look at something a little more complex. So I'm opening up my sales controller here. And you might notice that I have something that kind of looks like duplicate entries here. But they aren't. They're using a lot of the same code, but it's not a lot of code, so it's no problem replicating it. So this sales by category is something we use to build a chart. And it is an action result. So it's going to return a view. And that's what we use to render the sales by category view. So it's easy enough to basically just copy that and just rename it a little just for clarity, and then create a JSON result instead of an action result. And when you do the query, instead of returning a view, you return a JSON. We want to make sure that it's able to be called on the client side, so I'm going to set JSON request behavior to allow get. Now keep in mind what we're doing here is is not something you want to just go out and do. This is exposing sales data to anyone doing an HTTP GET. So obviously you'd want to add in authentication here, just like any API. But, just to get the point across, we built a dashboard, a simple way. But this is the fundamentals of what you need to expose it. So we have a top product sales data, sales by category data, and product sales data. So now I'm going to go over to my index view for sales, and I have two divs that I'm going to turn into charts, and I have a table that might look familiar, but not exactly. So this is the same table we used earlier, only instead of using Razor syntax, I have a little jQuery templating syntax in here. So, this is basically the client-side version of how you would create a grid. And that, again, is just basically going to render a data set as table rows for each item. So here I'm just, doing an AJAX request to my sales / sales by category data, and that's getting me my JSON that I need. I'm creating slices for a pie chart. And then I'm creating a pie chart. Pretty straightforward. My next AJAX request is getting the top product sales data, and that's what we saw the bar chart of earlier. Doing something similar, creating X and Y series, and then I'm creating the bar chart. And lastly, I'm doing a AJAX call to the product sales data, and I'm then in the success function going to render that template. So this TMPL is, I'm passing in the data object here, and that's actually rendering based on those bindings. And then I'm going to append it to the table's body tag. So I'm appending all the rows it's creating into the T body, and then I'm taking that table and turning it into a grid. So that was a lot. That was a lot to take in. I don't expect anybody to remember all that. So I'll just show you what it does. Okay, so there you can see they're all very they're similar little pieces of the UI that we had in the rest of the application, but that's really only the data. The JSON data is really the only same thing that you have between two, and one's in the form of JSON, where you can build a dashboard like this very easily just in pure JavaScript, or you can render HTML and then turn it into a widget. So again, let's view source here, and you can see I've got the table here and two divs. Nothing's rendered, literally nothing other than the empty elements we need, and there's AJAX calls to build this. Let me just refresh the page to show you again. You can see as each thing builds, we could have added a little better transition in there, but it's pretty powerful stuff that you can do, and this approach is, the pure JavaScript method. Now the other approach is, much better for SEO if you have worries about that. You want to be rendering stuff, or say you already have a web application in place, and you want to, just enhance it. The other approach is better. And you can mix and match the two. So that is our putting the V in MVC application. And the benefits of this ultimate view concept is you're really taking control over your markup. So you've got clean and lean HTML. It's very maintainable. You can see exactly what's being output. And it's very easy for a designer to work on it with a developer. And they don't have to guess what the rendered output's going to be. It's highly interactive UI when you're using jQuery UI. And it's very easy to integrate jQuery AJAX calls. When you're building interface and when you're enhancing things already using jQuery, it just makes sense to further integrate those. For example, if you wanted to handle the sorting event or paging event on the jQuery grid, You could do that with AJAX calls to other JSON results, just like we did with a dashboard. So there's a lot you can do, and when you're already working in jQuery, it just makes it that much easier to integrate. And then you get theme roller support. So you basically can have your whole application theme roller ready, which is, you know, huge if you aren't a design expert and you just want to quickly theme something. So thank you very much. I'm now going to leave some resources up here on the screen and try to answer some questions. All right, question number one, does the Widgmo menu allow security trimming? I imagine that is, actually I don't know what that means. I guess, are you asking role-based authentication, stuff like that, maybe? Just like you would traditionally see. I think that's what you mean. But if it is, then yeah, but it's not the Widgmo menu doing it. It would be whatever you render. So obviously, you don't want to render an unordered list that has things in it that you don't want everyone to see. You know, you only want to render what you want everyone to see, or whoever is accessing it has authorization to see. Is Widgmo free to use as jQuery UI is? Widgmo Open is exactly licensed as jQuery and jQuery UI, and it is free to use under MIT and GPL, so yes. And Widgmo Complete is commercial, so no, but it does have a GPL v3, so if you can comply with GPL v3, then it sort of is too. Will you be posting the project code files? Yes, absolutely. If you want to just follow me on Twitter or look out in the MVC hashtag, I will definitely be posting the video, the slides, and the code project. Well, what's that toolbar with browser icons in Visual Studio? All right, yeah. That one's awesome. It's the default browser switcher. It's a great little free add-on in the extension gallery. Definitely get that. What are you using for the jQuery IntelliSense? Excellent question. Most of it was just from Visual Studio, basically compiling the JavaScript and building it for us. But we do have VS doc files that help. So that's how we work with those. But you know, when you get down into those views, if you notice, we didn't have the IntelliSense anymore. You know, so I don't know how you overcome that. I know in web forms there was a way to kind of comment a way of loading in a script reference, but I don't know of that in MVC. Looks like we had some resolution, screen resolution issues. I apologize for that. Ajax.actionlink. How do you update target ID to iframe and provide iframe source from action result? I am not sure what you're asking there, so I do not know how to answer that. Is it possible to allow sorting on individual columns? Yes, absolutely. You can set sorting on columns true or false. So it's a Boolean value on the grid itself or on each individual column. Do the charts work in every browser? Yes. There were some issues with older versions of Android phones where it didn't work, but it works on the iPhone, works in IE6. They work, you know, pretty much everywhere. Somebody was commenting that the Widgmo Open costs $200 on the website. We have support, so if you want like premium support, we do have that. But Widgmo Open is free. I promise you. what is your blog URL? If you just Widgmo.com. We have a blog up there. I'll post all this information there. Does the Widgmo grid support AJAX sorting, searching, and paging? Yes, it does. When I say does it support it, it raises events for all of them. So it supports it on the client, so whatever you render will just work. But it raises events for all those, so you could handle any of them. And we have some samples on how you can actually do that hooked up to like a REST service or a JSON result like we had here. Let's see. The browser icons thing looks like the audio cut out. It is called the default browser switcher. It's a Visual Studio add-on. Definitely worth getting. It's free. The charting is part of Widgmo Complete. Okay. I believe that is all the questions. Apart from the price and licensing, what's the difference between open and complete? It's the widgets that are in them. It's two completely different lists of widgets. Those are on the site too, if you're interested. Somebody pointed out that the source code is on GitHub. So yeah, if you go to github.com/widgmo, we do have the source up there. So feel free to download it there. We also package it up nicely on the website with samples and themes and everything. Are all the widgets you showed today part of the free version? No, they aren't. The things in the first round that impacted the whole site, like the menu, the text box, the button, the checkbox, radio button, tooltip, all that stuff is, but the really heavy hitters like the data stuff, like grid and chart are not. All right, great. Thank you. With that, I'm going to close this. Again, if anybody didn't get my Twitter handle, B4NN0N, please send me any questions you have, and I will, get them answered. I highly recommend you get started with jQuery UI and Widgmo and start using it in MVC. Without further ado, this is over, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That was great. Okay, this room is going to be empty for the next session. I'm just going to put the room 4 right back up there. Please remember to go rate the sessions. Go to the schedule page, click on the rate it link, and it will take you over to speakerrate.com, and you can rate the...